All right, if you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to, again, in the book of Philippians tonight. We were in chapter 2 this morning, tonight chapter number 3. Totally different thoughts and different subject. It's amazing what the Word of God, how it reveals itself to us, and so many different things that we can glean out of scriptures and different verses, some that are familiar, some maybe that are not as familiar. But tonight we're reading chapter number 3 of the book of Philippians, beginning in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 15, and a note, or verse number 14. All right, let's begin reading. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision, for we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, in the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Paul is giving some background, some details about who he is and the importance that he felt concerning himself, as he was a of the stock of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was very zealous, very active in the work that he thought was pleasing to the Lord, until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus that day and realized what he had done was all in vain. And so he was very zealous, and he persecuted the church. But from the time he met the Lord there in the book of Acts, there on the road to Damascus, Paul's zeal was turned from persecution unto preaching. And so he's rehearsing to these people of Philippi some things about his background and how that you do not depend upon the flesh. For if you could, Paul says, I had all reason to be able to do that. Now notice verse number 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Or really what he is saying here, he said, "I have not arrived at perfection. I don't have all the knowledge that maybe needs to be." And so he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul here is explaining and writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there are things that are ahead of us that we reach for. There are things behind us that we just have to forget about. And sometimes the problems and the struggles of life, if we're not careful, we'll let those things bog us down and trouble us and give us difficulty. But Paul says, I've not apprehended, I haven't overtaken, I haven't come to a perfection in my life. He said, but I count myself there that I forget those things that are behind, reach forward to those things that are before us. And so Paul is telling these Philippian people there is something ahead that is good. There's something that ahead of us that is righteous and holy that we can go after and we can rejoice in, just as are those things behind us that we need to not dwell upon, not to continually have them in our minds. We are coming down to the end of 2016. I can remember when I was a kid, I would count in my mind how old I would be when it was 2020 or 2010. And I thought, well, that sounds like that's old. And here I am, and here we all are. And by the way, where's George? George had a birthday today, and so he's a little older than the rest of us today. He had his birthday. But we're all going that direction. We're going that way. And there are those things behind us that we certainly do not need to grab a hold of and continually hold on to them. We're right here just a few weeks away from a new period of time, or at least the counting of time. And I guess I say every year that just because you go from December to January and you're in a new year doesn't mean anything changes. Everything remains the same. The work goes on. Wickedness is still there and things are still as they were the day before. And you can tell Paul here is certainly, as I read this afternoon and looked on these verses, verse number one of chapter 3, Paul says, finally. And then you got two more chapters. He has to be a Baptist preacher. He comes down to his conclusion and he just keeps talking and keeps writing. And he deals with this subject of things before us and things that are behind us. He deals with what he was and with what the Lord had made him. And all of us have those same things in our life. We may not have the same exact things that Paul had, but we have what we were and we have what we are. And then we look forward to what the Lord shall make us in his day of appearing. But this year that is before us is a year that we can look to and maybe enjoy the commitment of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. This year will soon be over. It doesn't seem possible that another 12 months has gone by. It doesn't seem just a little while that we were talking about 2016. And really and truly, it doesn't seem that long since we were talking about getting into a new millennial, the year 2000. And here 16 years has gone by, and hadn't it been a ride? Hadn't things been so much turmoil and so much struggle in the world? And this year that we're in certainly is no different than any other year, but it's about to come to an end as far as counting time. But it's been a good year. It's been a hard year for some folks, but it's been a good year for the child of God because the Lord deals with us and helps us with so many, many things. It's been a good year for folks that love the Lord because God showers out his love back to us. And the Lord has always been good during the good times, the up times and the down times, during the trials and the tears and the joy and the rejoicing and the sorrows that come and the problems that arise to us. And the year that is before us is no different than the one that we just are getting ready to go out of. The year that is before us will offer us some good things. It will offer us some bad things. It will offer us some joys, and it will offer, I'm sure, some sorrows. And so we find that we are living our life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But I won't be able to say, as much trouble sometimes that folks have, we ought, as a Christian, we ought to never say we have a complaint against God. I have no complaints. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord's been good to all of us. The Lord's been good to our church. The Lord's been good to each of us. And the Bible tells us that in Exodus chapter 34, it says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That describes some of the attributes of our God. He is merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and abundant in truth. So you and I tonight, as many struggles maybe as we have had, we have lost friends to death. We have lost loved ones to death. We've had struggles maybe of health. We've had difficulties come to us. But really and true, the Lord is very gracious. He's very merciful to us. And so we look forward to a future that Paul talks about. He said, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God. You and I tonight, as a believer, as a Christian, it's a high calling to be able to be called a Christian. The world mocks and ridicules that title. But you and I tonight, we are pleased and we have much pleasure in someone saying, well, you're a Christian. I take it that you're a Christian. I don't know how many times folks have said, and I've heard them say, that person there probably is a Christian by their actions and by their ways and their deeds. That's a compliment that the world gives to the child of God, and we are certainly very thankful for that. And so the Lord is merciful. Praise the Lord for His mercy. He is gracious. He has given us that favor that we do not deserve, and praise God, He is long-suffering to us and has been long-suffering to us this past year, and His long-suffering will continue in the days that are ahead because He's abundant in goodness and in truth. The Lord is more than just a friendship that we have. He is our God. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God that's why He came. That's what we dealt with this morning in the message. That's the reason that Jesus came. He came to save sinners. And Paul thought of himself as you and I probably would think of ourselves when we come to confront the Lord and He convicts us of our sin. We feel as though we are the worst of all sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am chief. And so Paul realized his unworthiness. Paul realized that he had nothing in order for the Lord to smile upon him, but just because of who he was, who the Lord was, He was merciful to him. And he realizes that the Lord came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, I'm the worst sinner ever was. I've had people tell me that under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they say, preacher, I don't know if the Lord will save me or not. I'm about as bad as anybody can get. Well, that's who the Lord came to save. And we have to get to that position of believing that and knowing that and understanding that we have nothing to bring to the Lord. We have nothing to offer to Him. And we come under the convicting hand of God and we realize that we are unworthy. We realize we are a chief of sinners. And so the Lord is more than just merciful and gracious. He is a Savior. He, to us this year, He's been more than just good. He's been wonderful to us. The Bible says in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The Lord has given unto us all things that pertains unto life. Everything we need to have, God has given that to us. Every need that I've had this year, God has supplied that need. I'm glad that the Lord is able and capable of giving and giving to us those things that maybe nobody else knows about except us, of a need that is there, and God is able to supply those things. And so He is more than just good. He gives us all things that pertains to life and godliness, living for the Lord. The Lord is He's merciful, He's gracious. He's good, and thank God He's gentle tonight. Psalm 103, verse number 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous of mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's gentle with us. I, for one tonight, am glad that the Lord does not deal with us according to our sins. Just take a moment and think about your life. That the Lord does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us in His grace and His forgiveness. Does He correct us? Does He instruct us? Yes, He does. Does He correct us? Yes. But He does not deal with us as needs to be and should be, because we are sinners deserving to die and go to hell without Him. And He's that one that does not reward us according to our iniquities. Thank God we are under the mercy and the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this year that we're coming down to the conclusion of it, we can look back on it and say, God has been good. God has been gracious. God has been merciful. There have been discouragements. If I was to ask you tonight, how many times or if you've been discouraged this year, probably, if we be honest, probably every hand would raise. There's been times of discouragement. There's been times of problems. There's been times of trouble. There's been times of fear. I know in my own heart, my own life, there's times that you don't know what's out ahead, and you have that fear of the unknown, but God's gracious, and God's good, and God supplies to us. And so when we consider the whole 11 or almost 12 months that has gone by, the Lord's been more than merciful. He's been wonderful. The Lord's been more than good. He's been great. He's been more than gentle. He's done all those things for us, and He desires that no one would perish without a hope and would come to repentance. And so we find that as 2016 is winding down, and it's almost gone, and there's nothing we can do to change it. Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." He said, "I can't change it. I'm not going to change it." There's the law of the Medes and the Persians. What was written, and it does not change. And there's things that have happened to us this year that we cannot change. And 2017 is ahead, and it's limitless in the possibilities of where God can take us and what He can do for us. What we do the next year, if the Lord has not come, is entirely up to our response to the will of God. The Lord desires good things for us. He's not he doesn't sit there and wait to bring judgment upon us and this idea that God's going to get you and God's going to destroy you. He's not waiting there for that. He's waiting with mercy and with peace and with understanding. And so this year ahead of us is entirely how we respond to the will of the Lord in our life. How will we honor Him? How will we be committed unto Him? We live in a society that does not like the word commitment, but the Bible teaches all the way through it from Genesis to Revelation that we are, as His people, we are to be committed unto Him to do what He says and to follow His pathway. The world makes New Year's resolutions, and that's coming up. We'll hear much about that. And they don't last very long because they're just in the flesh. The world makes those kind of things. But God's children, we should resolve to follow the Master. We have a song in our songbook, "I Am Resolved." We have a determination that we're going to do what the Lord desires for us to do. Now, 2017 can be a great year or it can be a terrible year. And a lot of that is in accordance to how we respond to what the Lord has for us. The Apostle Paul had learned some things in his life, and these things are beneficial to you and I. In these last verses here, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In these verses, we find that Paul had come to a realization that he had not gone as far as he could go with the Lord. He said, "I have not apprehended. I haven't overtaken all the things that God has for me." And so he had a realization. You and I tonight, we certainly, looking at our life and what God does for us, we have a realization that there's still something for us to do. For He has permitted us to have life another day. As long as we're living, as long as we're breathing, as long as we're on the top side of God's earth, then God has a will for us. And we need to realize that we can go on and serve the Lord and do what He would have us to do. It's a time of realization these next 3 or 4 weeks as we close out this year and open up a new year. We can realize many of the blessings, and it's good to think back. And He says, this one thing I do. And what he's doing there is remembering. And we can do the same thing, a time of realization or a time of remembering or reflection, that we look at our life and judge it according to the Word of God. And self-judgment's very important. Self-judgment is what we do for ourselves. We don't like to do that. We don't want to examine ourselves. We don't like to bring up the failures that we have. And we all have failures that nobody knows about except us and God. We all have struggles in our life. We have those things that come at us that nobody knows about. And Paul says, this one thing I do. He said, I'm not going to stay back here in the behind and looking back, but I'm going to go forward. And so he says, I have a time of realization that I haven't arrived at where I ought to be. And we'll never arrive where we ought to be until we get to glory, and then that's the arrival place. And then we need to reflect on what we have done and how we have sometimes misused and abused the grace of God and those things that He's so good to give us. And then he says, forgetting those things that are behind. I put down there, it's a time of rest. We can just forget about that. Thank God He has. He's put our sins in the sea of His forgetfulness. He's put them as far as the east is from the west. He has said, I'll remember them no more. And so we can rest understanding that those things back there ought not to bother me to the point that I cannot go on with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people in Madisonville, there's a lot of people probably in every city that has had a religious background such as Madisonville, very conservative in a lot of areas, but there's so many people that are not serving God because they cannot forget those things back there. They cannot forget what happened 10 years ago. Or they cannot forget, I've heard people say, well, so-and-so did this 30 years ago. Well, what was it? Well, I don't remember. But I'm not happy about it. And a lot of people live with that, and that destroys our joy of the Lord. That destroys our effectiveness for the things of God. And we ought to rest from those things in the background. I've done some things this year that I would have never thought I would have done. I've preached in some places that I didn't think I would ever preach at. And because of things in the past and things that used to go on. But thank God you can put that behind you. And you can go forward and serve the Lord and rejoice in the good things that God has for us. And so Paul says, I'll forget those things which are behind. You know what Paul had to forget? He had to forget that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had to forget how religious he was. He had to forget how much his family abided by every little detail of the Word of God to the extreme. To the point that it wasn't even right. It became unholy. Paul had to realize and he had to forget that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That just seemed to mean he is the best there was. That's Paul's idea of himself before he got to say, I'm just the best. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That'd be like you and I saying, well, we're an American of the Americans. We're just the best there is. And Paul had to put that behind him because it would defeat and destroy his effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to forget about as touching the law. He was a Pharisee. He had to forget about his religion that had been given to him from the time he was born and circumcised the eighth day and gone through all the rituals of Judaism and the law of the Jews. He had to put that behind him because now he's dealing with people like these folks of Philippi that were Gentiles and had no understanding about the Jews' laws and their ways. So Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended. I haven't overtaken everything that I should. He said, but I do put those things behind me and forget those. But then there's this, I guess we could call it a resolve. He says, I'm going to reach forth to those things that are before. 2017 is ahead of us. Three or four weeks we'll be there. And God has things before us. And so we need to reach for those things that are before us and be as Paul and say, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God. We have a high calling tonight. We're called Christians. We have a high calling. We are born again. We have a high calling that the Lord has taken us out of the sorrowful pit of sin and has placed us in Himself, and we are in Christ Jesus. That's a high calling for a man or a woman, a boy, a girl, to be called a Christian, to be called a child of God. The past, there is a past that is finalized. I'm glad I don't have to live in the past. I'm glad tonight that I don't have to live back there of days gone by. 2016 is almost history that cannot be rewritten. Some people try to rewrite it, but you can't rewrite what has happened. Well, hadn't it been an interesting year? Hadn't it been a year of ups and downs? Hadn't it been a year of turmoil and strife and struggles? Hadn't it been a year of just... I can't imagine some of the problems that our nation is facing tonight. Some of the divisions that are there. We've had a hard ride 2016. But those things are behind us. We can't change that. The only thing we can do is reach what's before us and go on and serve Him. Psalm number 90 and verse 9 says, for all of our days are passed away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. All of our days are passed away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Wonder what tale will be told about us. Wonder what will be said about us. What will be said about us yet in the future? Past, remembrance, those things that are behind us, critiquing the year that we are coming out of, looking forward to what is ahead of us, the understanding that there are mistakes, there are sins, there are weaknesses in all of our lives that we could have done better, and that ought to help us to be committed to do better the year to come. It's very important, and it is as far as a nation, as a people, it's very important that we know what happened in the past so it will not happen in the future. Well, it's just as important for the child of God to remember what happened in the past so we'll not make the same mistakes, so we'll not do the same sins, so we'll not fall in the same gullies and the pitfalls that are there. We look at them and we resolve to make things better for us. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. There is a past that should be finalized. The book will be closed. The year will be over. And we can't change a thing that happened this past year. Not one thing. Now, that's a sobering thought. I've made some mistakes this past year. I can't change them. We've done some good things this past year. Don't want to change them. But everything that is done is final. And one of these days, our life will be ended. And as he tells us there, all of our days are passed away. All of our days are gone. Every one of us are heading to the same place. If the Lord does not come, and we say it every year, if the Lord doesn't come, some of us will be missing next year. We've gone to the cemetery two or three times this year of our own people. And we said last year that if the Lord doesn't come, we'll be making that trip. If the Lord doesn't come this coming year, you know what? We'll make that trip again. Because we're headed toward the grave. And those things will be final and cannot be redone. And just as there is a past, thank God, there is a prospect that can be joyous for the child of God. I believe we ought to be excited about the year ahead. It could be the year the Lord comes. And He may come. I mean, I'm preaching this message like it's the day before the new year, but He could come before this year's over. If He does, praise God. We won't have to worry about it. It'll be final then. But if He doesn't come between now and January 1st, you know what? He can come January 2nd. And we look forward to His appearing, and there's a prospect that is a future for us that's fantastic as a child of God. And I think we ought to be excited about what God can do for us in the days that are ahead. I don't know what the new year will bring. We didn't know what this year would bring us. Sometimes we look back on it and say, my, how did we go through that? How did that happen? But the prospect is before us. The year may bring poverty, it may bring heartache, it may bring sorrow, but it will bring victory because of the Lord. Our victory is in Jesus Christ and He alone. We have the prospect of the coming of our Lord. That never gets old for the child of God. That's the blessed hope for every one of us, that Jesus is coming again. We have songs that are written about it. We have a lot of songs in our songbook. Especially, it's interesting, a lot of those songs that have five verses, usually the last verse has something to do about the coming of our Lord. He is coming. We sing about it. We think about it. We preach about it. We anticipate it. And so that's the prospect one day that He is coming. The glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of Titus tells us that. He's our beloved bridegroom. He's the lover of our soul. He's our Redeemer. He's our Protector. He's our Lord, our God. He is ours. And one of these days, one of these years, that we say every first of the year, this could be the year. I've heard that ever since I was a kid. Ever since I've been in church, I've heard the preachers say, this could be the year that Jesus is coming. Brother Gallagher, you was raised in church all your life. Did you hear that all your life? Sure we did. All you others tonight that have been in church for year after year after year, that is the prospect, that is the hope of the believer, that is the blessed hope that Titus tells us about in chapter number 2. And we look forward, we anticipate, this could be the year. And brother, if it is, it'll be an exciting year when we leave this world and we wake up in glory. What a wonderful thought. He is our Redeemer. The prospect of us going to our home, through the veil of death or through the glorious rapture, we're going home. What a wonderful place it is. We leave and we go to places and we go on vacations, we take trips, but there's no place, as the old saying says, there's no place like home. When you get home, you just feel, you may be tired, wore out, broke, everything's over. But when you get home and sit down in your chair, you lay down in your bed, you say, oh, it's good to be home. And there's a day coming when we'll be able to say, good to be home. What a wonderful thought, the prospect of our home going. But until then, there is this present flesh that we have to deal with. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. That's been said hundreds of thousands of times. The past is behind us, and hopefully we have a future ahead of us. But right now we deal in the present tense of the flesh. And in this flesh, there is no good thing. In this body of flesh that God has given to us that we live and have our being, there's nothing good about this flesh. The only thing that can be good about it is that the Lord saves us in our spirit, gives us a home in heaven, a spiritual salvation, and one of these days, Paul tells us that this flesh is going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Even in the book of Job, Job is probably the first written, as far as time frame, first book ever written, penned down. And Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see Him. Job was smarter than some people down here in some of the religious colleges around our country. Job said, I'll stand before God. Job said, even when the destruction comes to this flesh, he uses the words, when the skin worms destroy this flesh, he said, in my flesh I shall see God. Job understood there's a resurrection of this body, a new body, a new life. The freshness of rejoicing, of that new opportunity of living for the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes. Endless new opportunities to live for Him, to witness, to tell people, to work for Him, to worship, to walk. All those things we can do, and we do that in the flesh. Even though our flesh, there's nothing good, God's given us our flesh that we must worship Him in. And one of these days it's going to be changed, and we'll go to be with the Lord forever and forever. And so Paul can say, I forget about those things in the past. I press toward those things in the future. The prize, the call of God upon his life. And he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, and we'll close. Let us therefore, because of what he has just said, let us therefore, or because of that, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, until you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul said, because of this that God has given us, that we press toward the mark, let us therefore go on to maturity or perfection. May the Lord help us tonight as we think about the end of the year. We think about the closing of books. We think about of all the things that go on in the last days of a year. Close it out. It's done. December 31st, we'll close it out. And it is done. But we have a whole new prospect of a year before us. And we start fresh and new, and we look forward to what God, the prospect of His blessing us and helping us to serve Him more and more as we live for Him. May God help us to do that. May God help us to forget the things that would deter us and hurt us and hinder us. Those are in the past. But may God help us to press forward and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.